First, a judge ruled today that Governor Walker needs to call special elections to fill two vacant seats in the state legislature. Dane County Circuit Court Judge Josanne Reynolds ruled that the voting rights of people living in those districts were being infringed. Sean Johnson is here to give us the latest. He's Capital Bureau Chief for the Wisconsin Public Radio News Department. Sean, welcome back.
Hey, Rob.
We've been hearing you in the news throughout the afternoon talking about this. Tell us more about what went into the judge's ruling. What was the case she ended up making here?
Well, Judge Josanne Reynolds walked through the decisions that she had to make as a judge as to when she would step in a case like this, when she would step in and order a governor to order special elections. And kind of all along the way, she said that, you know, there was just a clear law that spelled this out is what it boiled down to, is that the law for when to order special elections in Wisconsin is pretty clear, that if a vacancy occurs before the second Tuesday in May, you order them. Governor Walker had said that because these vacancies in particular occurred in late December, that it didn't apply. But Judge Reynolds said that led to an absurd result because somebody could leave the legislature right now and the governor would have to call a special election, whereas these vacancies occurred last December, and he's saying he's not required to.
What are the options now for the governor?
Well, you can appeal. You can ask for a stay. We don't know what the governor's going to do. When I reached out to his office, they said they were just reviewing their options with the Wisconsin Department of Justice. Wisconsin Department of Justice said they were talking it over with their client being the governor. So we don't know what their next steps are going to be, but this is a state court case involving a state law in the Wisconsin state constitution. So if it gets appealed, it would be through, the state appeals court, and the final, arbiter in these cases would be the Wisconsin State Supreme Court, where conservatives have a majority. But as of right now, it was decided in county court, and the judge there gave a very clear decision that she viewed this as a clear violation of state law by Governor Walker.
The governor has said even if there were a special election, that by the time the lawmakers got into office, they wouldn't have much to do. That's probably more true now since it's a couple months down the road. If this process started, would the new legislator do a lot of legislating?
So that was something that Judge Reynolds mentioned as she gave her decision from the bench, is that, you know, that this governor, Governor Walker, has a history of calling special sessions, and that as she was sitting down to draft the outline of her decision last week, he called another one. The legislature is meeting in today. The governor called last week a special session on school safety. And Judge Reynolds said there was a very real possibility, given his history of doing that he might call another one later this year. And she specifically referenced Wisconsin's redistricting case, which is currently before the U.S. Supreme Court, and said it was very possible that if the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in that case, Wisconsin's legislature could get called back to Madison for a special session this year to deal with whatever the U.S. Supreme Court decides in that case.
Sean, thanks for the update, and I think we'll be talking to you about this again soon.
All right, you're welcome, Rob.
That's Sean Johnson, WPR's Capital Bureau Chief. Now, the conventional wisdom is that this year's midterm elections could be trouble for Republicans around the country and here in Wisconsin. Traditionally, the party that holds the White House is at a disadvantage in midterm races like 2018. And in recent months, Democrats have won seats in districts that went handily for Donald Trump in the 2016 presidential election. That includes a congressional race in Pennsylvania, a U.S. Senate contest in Alabama, and a state Senate race here in Wisconsin, in the western part of the state. Donald Trump won the 10th state Senate district by 17 points, and the seat had been represented by Republican Sheila Harsdorf. Republicans held that seat for 17 years until Governor Walker appointed Harsdorf to be Agriculture Secretary. Here's what Governor Walker had to say after Democrat Patty Schachner won by 11 points in a special election back in January.
I really think looking ahead, it's a wake-up call that just because really good things are happening, that unlike Washington, where a lot of people are frustrated with Washington, I think even some of the people in that 10th Senate district were frustrated with Washington not getting the job done. In Wisconsin, we're getting really good and positive things done for the people of our state.
This fall, Wisconsinites will vote for a governor, attorney general, state lawmakers, Congress, and a U.S. Senate seat. Our next guest says state Republican insiders are not feeling all that great about their party's chances of hanging on to power, but they think Republicans have a shot. Jerry Bader is the communications director at Media Trackers and a former talk radio host in northeastern Wisconsin. He blogs at jerrybaderlive.com. Jerry, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Great to be here, Rob.
Well, you talked to a couple of Wisconsin Republican insiders. What kind of things were they talking about here in March?
So let's start. I have Insider 1 and Insider 2. These are two people, I will tell you, their jobs are to win elections for Republicans. Insider 1 is actually far more pessimistic than Insider 2, and he quite frankly puts this at the feet of Donald Trump, and he really doesn't know how. Let's start at the state level. Legislative races and the governor, you can't run against Donald Trump, but he is on the ballot with everyone with an R behind their name. And what both guys do agree on, that I spoke with both sources, is on the state level, all you can do is run on those legislative accomplishments, things that got done as the soundbite with Governor Walker just a bit ago. But one of the sources I spoke with is, just being pretty blunt here, he thinks a best-case scenario is just a regular, horrible midterm election. He leans toward a bloodbath. He just doesn't see Republicans at any level outrunning the shadow of Donald Trump.
Now, Republicans, and Governor Walker has alluded to this, they have the opportunity to point toward very low, record low, as we're hearing in the news today, unemployment numbers. They can point toward Foxconn boosting the state's economy. They'll run on their record of tax cuts. I mean, on paper, from a Republican election perspective, they have some banners to wave here, right?
They do. And there's no doubt about it. As a conservative, I certainly believe that the resume looks pretty good. A lot of items ticked off the conservative agenda here in Wisconsin. But the problem is there are a lot of people who voted for Donald Trump who did a leap of faith. And they've got buyer's remorse. And what's going to happen is, I don't care if it's a state Senate race, I don't care if it's Governor Walker, all any Democrat has to do, well, what about Stormy Daniels? What about congratulating Vladimir Putin? And I could go on and on and on. And that's just, it's just an anvil that weighs down that track record that they're trying to run on, in the opinion of the two people I spoke with and in my opinion.
Now, people point toward the special elections, the one in Wisconsin for the state Senate, the Connor Lamb win in Pennsylvania and other places. And you could say, okay, that's a special election, got a lot of attention. Maybe those are outliers. Are people in Wisconsin talking about Virginia with this dramatic switch in one of the chambers of the legislature, keeping the governor's position there for Democrats? Is that a warning sign that Wisconsin Republicans are talking about?
Yeah, you know, outliers are when you have one and another. It's hard to say it's an outlier. Virginia and Pennsylvania, I think the metaphor is apropos. That is one dead canary in the coal mine. I mean, that is, if Republicans don't look at that and see the headwind they're facing, they're delusional.
Can Wisconsin state Republicans, not whatever the opposite of nationalize is this election, can they say, hey, forget those guys in Washington? This is these seats, the Assembly, the Senate, Governor, this is about Wisconsin.
I think they can. And let me say this. I think Governor Walker can. Let's take them separately. Governor Walker and the state Senate, which, of course, is the most vulnerable to fall to Democrats. Governor Walker can. It's going to depend so much on who he faces. We have no idea. There are so many people in that primary. A weak candidate could, with the pie slice that many ways, come out, and then he has a very good chance. If one of what I consider the credible candidates get the nomination, I think it will be the fight of his life, the worst he's ever faced. I think control of the state Senate is in real danger for Republicans.
How about the attorney general race? Is that one you have your eye on?
I do, but I really have not done much tea leaf reading at this early juncture. The Oppo research is flying on the Democratic candidate already. In any other year, I would say Brad Schimmel is probably safe. I honestly believe no one with an R behind their name is safe in 2018.
We heard from Mark on Facebook, who writes, the state Democratic Party is so inept, I would expect larger margins in state legislature, in the state legislature and congressional delegation. Can the Republicans pin some hope on the Wisconsin State Democratic Party not being on their game?
That's a great point. And here, and I'm going to say no, that it's not a fact. Now, they are inept, they are incompetent, and we have seen that. One of the sources I spoke with put it this way. I won't say the word. He said, bleeped off people are more energized than happy people, or that are people that are seeing things get done. Democrats are really angry, and the enthusiasm gap is off the charts. And I would argue that enthusiasm gap blows away the Democratic ineptitude.
Talking to Jerry Bader about state Republicans' concerns, hopes, and especially fears about the 2018 midterm elections. Jerry's a communications director at Media Trackers now, former talk radio host in northeastern Wisconsin. He blogs at jerrybaderlive.com. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think 2018 will be a wave year for Democrats in Wisconsin, a bloodbath, as we've heard some Republicans are worried? Should Governor Walker be worried about his chances of winning a third term? Or do you think there's a strong case for Republican candidates? Do you have ideas on how they should run? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. We continue our conversation about whether state Republicans are headed for trouble in this year's midterm elections. Jerry Bader is with us, communications director at Media Trackers, former talk radio host in northeastern Wisconsin. You can follow his blog at jerrybaderlive.com. And you can join in now at 800-642-1234. Do you think Democrats are going to win big here in Wisconsin, in the state legislature, congressional seats, Senate, governor? Should Governor Walker be worried about his chances of repeating, or are you feeling, if you're Republican, pretty good about your party? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. To your calls now, Owen is with us in Wauwega. Owen, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I traditionally voted Republican for a lot of different reasons, but my biggest reason I voted Republican is for Democratic policies to remain and the Constitution to be upheld. And what I found now is that these people that always kind of had a conservative standpoint on things, they're not in contact with the conservative constituents that they once had. And they're losing out to people like me. I'm a young dairy farmer who's trying to compete against mega dairies that don't have to follow the same rules that a smaller farm would as far as hiring illegal immigrants, things like that. And these type of large special interest type of economic forces are really guiding these people. So I wrote letters to our representatives in the assembly, state assembly. I wrote letters to Senator Ron Johnson. I wrote letters to Paul Ryan's office. I sent letters to Governor Walker's office. The only people that I got letters back from or any response from about agricultural issues that I'm really concerned about and upholding democracy and helping young farmers continue to be able to compete with mega dairies, who are using a lot of loopholes and government funding to try to fund their mega dairies, and they complain that they're not making money. Well, they should see what somebody like me is trying to do. Anyway, so the only people that returned my letters were Interim Secretary of Agriculture Jeff Lyons.
I'm going to jump in, Owen, because I want to bring Jerry in and have time for other callers. But Owen's saying, hey, I'm Republican. I voted conservative. I feel like, Owen says, the Republicans are out of touch with my needs.
Well, I think to a degree, I understand where Owen is coming from. Here's what I would say in response to that, though. All the oxygen is being sucked up by the daily drama from the West Wing, and I think it's unprecedented in history how that is seeping down to the lower levels of government. And if Republicans at any level do get anything accomplished in the House, on the federal level, for example, all sorts of things passed, didn't make it through the Senate, but nobody is paying attention to the sausage factory anymore. Everybody is paying attention to the circus, the sideshow.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go now to Jess in Spring Green. Jess, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I had a question. with you had mentioned the Republicans, you know, possibly having a bloodbath, and the Democrats maybe an F. And I was wondering what your take would be on possibly a third party, maybe an independent party, coming to fruition.
Jerry, what do you think?
I heard a joke on the House of Cards goes like this: the third party is the future, and always will be, meaning that it's just never going to be realized. And here's what I would say. I think it's more possible than ever. That's still not saying much. It's more possible than ever because of the anger level. You saw a split in both parties in 2016. It could happen, but the forces, the power that each major party has right now makes it very, very difficult.
Thanks for the call, Jess. I wanted to talk about a couple other races that we haven't spent much time on. The contest for Congress, we have mostly what are considered safe seats here for the House, and the U.S. Senate race. Where do you see those going, Jerry?
Well, let's start with the big one, the Senate race. I will tell you, I believe in this year, Tammy Baldwin is going to be very, very difficult to defeat. For a couple of reasons. I really don't like the way the primary is shaping up. I just don't. It's turning into a mud throw that we saw in 2012. That doesn't help. But quite frankly, the landscape that you have, people who voted, and I'll say it again, buyer's remorse for Donald Trump in Wisconsin in 2016, now have an opportunity to vote against him. Here's what I would say. You said safe seats. Keep a close eye on Glenn Grothman in the 6th Congressional District. He is absolutely just terrified for his life. He's facing Herb Kohl's nephew, a lot of family money there, and Glenn is making no bones about it. He's terrified. I think that seat's going to get targeted. If there is a House seat in Wisconsin to watch, that would be the one.
That would really be something.
No, it would. I mean, it's a very red district.
Yeah.
And that's where people might be going, huh? But I'm telling you, all bets are off in 2018.
Jerry Bader is with us looking at Republican prospects in the 2018 midterm elections. Back to your calls now. James is on the line in Mauston. James, hi.
Hi. I'm an independent from central Wisconsin, and I was curious how the Republican Party is going to solve — this is a very large kind of concept — but institutional corruption throughout Wisconsin and then at the national level.
And what are you talking about more specifically when you say institutional corruption, James?
Yeah, that's pretty broad. Specifically how money through the elections affects policy at the state level and then also eventually at the national level.
James, gotcha. So money in politics, campaign finance, Jerry, is that an issue that Republicans need to have a message on, do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. My inclination would be to say no. It has been very high on the agenda in the past. Democrats do use that as a cudgel, but the reality is that there's big money on both sides. And I just would I like to see a different way? Yeah, but I don't. I just, it's so far down the national agenda, the psyche, that it has been years past. I just don't see much discussion about it this fall.
James, thanks. Let's go next to Jenny on the line in Milwaukee. Jenny, hi.
Hi. My comment is just, I think there would be more opportunity for a Democratic bloodbath, quote unquote, if they would put forth more of an aspirational agenda. I mean, I think there's a real opportunity here for the Dems to be leading with a very progressive agenda. And I'm still unclear about where everybody's standing, except, you know, that they don't like Scott Walker.
Jenny, thanks for the call. And people have accused Democrats of that in the past, just running against Donald Trump or running against Scott Walker in past elections. What do you think, Jerry?
I think this is the best year ever to be running against something, to be perfectly candid with you. I think it's a valid point by the caller. I do. they're not advancing an agenda because they really don't feel that they need one. They have tried, they've wanted to say that Scott Walker has broken the Wisconsin economy. It looks like they may actually give up on that with the record low unemployment numbers that came out, because they're asking people to believe what they're saying or their own lying eyes. Wisconsin's economy is doing quite well. They are going to bank on that, quite frankly, in my opinion, that they don't need an agenda. They have anger. And when you have anger and when you have enthusiasm, sometimes look at 2016 and Donald Trump. That's all you need.
Some people have pointed toward, again, going back to Virginia, a lot of the more liberal Democratic candidates there, one, not running against Donald Trump, but running on, you know, potholes and better transportation and things like that. Can Democrats come with the bread and butter, not necessarily economy issues, but infrastructure, things like that?
Well, I think, yeah, I think the answer is yes, more so on the state level. And, you know, that's certainly the Achilles heel. That's one of the areas where they're going to attack Governor Walker, is certainly road infrastructure. So maybe not, that's not the best example, but I do think there are, you know, spending more on education than ever before, taxes, on and on and on. They can do that at the state level. They still have the specter of Donald Trump. The federal offices, that's going to be really tough.
Jerry, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure.
That's Jerry Bader, Communications Director at Media Trackers, former talk radio host in northeastern Wisconsin. You can follow his blog at jerrybaderlive.com. And you can still share your thoughts on prospects for the 2018 elections. Tweet us at Central Time WPR. Coming up tomorrow here on Central Time, a nationwide study finds that most states don't have enough money set aside for tough times. A longtime political observer tells us why Wisconsin is on that list. We'll check out the top stories in Wisconsin news, including the designation of economic opportunity zones in communities around the state. And on this week's edition of Food Friday, a timely topic, we'll get advice on how to cook with maple syrup. It's not just for pancakes and waffles anymore. That and more coming up tomorrow here on Central Time.